Q&A now. So feel free to address your questions. I'm going to call on you. I'm just going to reintroduce the people who are here available for questions. We have first Mike Dolan with Public Citizen. They're releasing a report on Thursday and hosting in this space a debate on Monday and a report back from Porto Alegre. This is Carol Welch with Friends of the Earth. Carol is representing also the Public Eye on Davos Summit. This is Mitch Cohen with the Green Party. This is Starhawk next door to him. Starhawks is with the Pagan Cluster. They're hosting a vigil on Friday night, visioning a better world. This is Sedina Sangor. Sedina is with Jubilee 2000, representing the Global South. They're going down to Porto Alegre as well for the World Social Forum. This is Eric Larson. Eric is representing the Another World is Possible rally on Saturday, where you will see the greatest number of folks in the streets. This is Kate Cooper, representing Reclaim the Streets. They're an organization that's going to be feeding into the Another World is Possible rally, doing samba with a samba band and tango dancing. This is Yvonne Liu. Yvonne is with Students for Global Justice. She's at Columbia University, where they're going to be hosting a counter summit. The Anti-Capitalist Convergence is also here. They're available to answer questions. This is David Solnit. David, raise your stuff. David is with the Arts and Action team, making beautiful visuals for the street events. And this is Brooke Lehman with the Direct Action Network. And Pramila Dixit over there, raise your hand, Pramila. She's with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And over there is Max Scott, who's representing the People's Law Collective and the folks who've been negotiating with the police so far. And Simon Greer is the last person. Simon, where are you? Simon is with Jobs with Justice, and he'll be a part of the AFL-CIO Jobs with Justice rally on Thursday. First question.
Demonstrations along with the National Lawyers Guild. I just want to say that we've had a differing response from the police. Some of the police have been very cooperative. We've been meeting with Chief Hale and with Esposito. They've been very cooperative. However, the police have obviously also been putting forward a counter campaign, trying to portray the demonstrators as terrorists, trying to build up a militaristic response to the protests. The National Lawyers Guild and the People's Law Collective will be on the streets on Saturday, will be on the streets on Friday. We will do everything we can. We will do litigation. We will support and represent the protesters, and we will make sure people are safe. We will not stand for a curtailing of civil liberties through police misconduct and police brutality. Thank you.
What's your name?
I'm Max Scott, M-A-C-S-C-O-T-T. M-A-C-S-C-O-T-T. With the People's Law Collective. I'm a legal worker. Yeah, I don't want to take too much time. I'm sorry.
One thing I want to just throw out to folks, if you missed the initial presentation, one of the foci of this press conference was to talk about us as a movement for global justice, not an anti-globalization movement, and to represent our issues. So, yeah. I just want to make it clear that we're a movement for global justice, we are not anti-globalization, and that this is an opportunity for us to talk about our issues. Who are we? Why are we out there? Why are we making some noise right now in this day and age? So I hope that some of the questions are going to address that and not exclusively focus on the police protester story, because that's been spoofed countless times. There's something new out there. I also want to tell you that we are willing to share with you our story. We hope that there's bi-directional trust between media and us. The reason why I bring that up is because ABC News last night took in a secret camera, a hidden camera, and didn't self-identify
when it was asked whether or not media were present in the room. We open our trainings to the media, but we also ask folks who are present whether or not they're comfortable with the media being there or going on camera, and that you guys respect that. And we found that to be a pretty enormous breach of respect. So we please do ask that you recognize where we're coming from and offer up the same respect that we do you. Next question.
I'm just curious if anyone up there could sort of describe their vision of a world governed by direct democracy. I mean, is this, how does that actually work?
Who wants? David's on it.
I mean,
can you go to the mic to make sense?
My name is David Solnit, S-O-L-N-I-T. I'm a spokesperson for the puppet here and Arts in Action. By direct democracy, we mean people having a direct say-so over the things that matter in the places we work, our neighborhoods where we live, our schools, and it's the antithesis of what the World Economic Forum is doing. A small elite of very wealthy people making our decisions for us. And there's a wealth of examples from Chiapas to the landless peasant movement in Brazil to our neighborhood organizations and community groups. This grassroots people power is the alternative to the World Economic Forum. That's the 80,000 people who are meeting in Porto Alegre as the very wealthy Bill Gates and Kenneth Lays meet in New York City.
David? Follow-up question to you while you're up there. This statement by police yesterday, essentially that they're going to arrest people for wearing more wearing masks. A lot of puppeteers, who's carrying puppets at such rallies, often cover their faces. Historically nonviolent compared to, let's say, Black Bloc. But this law would affect your group as well, because even underneath the giant puppets, their faces are covered. Are you all concerned? Are you worried?
I mean, it's. As artists and theater people, we've actually systematically been cracked down on in places like Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. Some of our friends were both in Philadelphia and Genoa, Italy. Our theater people were arrested, tortured in jail. So we're asking the New York City police not to shred up our Bill of Rights and our Constitution as people take to the streets. And I just want to say, I think we're standing up to the violence of the World Economic Forum. And if people in this country care about their future, if they care about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they'll be in the streets with us this Saturday at noon, standing up for our rights and standing up to the Kenneth Lays of the world. And we're doing a giant pageant. The theme of it is, they are all Enron, we are all Argentina. Thanks.
Next question, right here in purple.
I'd like to ask Yvonne a question, or actually anyone who would want to answer this. There's been criticism in the media that this kind of protest should not be held post September 11th, and it seems to me that this kind of a protest is even more important since the war has started, and we see U.S. troops now planning to go into who knows how many countries around the world, and protest is trying to be criminalized. I wonder if you could speak to the importance of this protest in the context of the war.
I'm Eric Larson. I'm with Another World Is Possible. This idea that it is inappropriate to have a protest like this has been put out by the police. It's been put out in the press a lot by editorial writers and others in newspapers that I could mention. It's an insult to New Yorkers to think that there's anything wrong with having a protest on Saturday. This is a city that tolerates dissent. This is a city that tolerates protest contrary ideas to the mainstream, always has, always will. And nothing has changed about the issues that we are highlighting after September 11th. If anything, they're more powerful because of September 11th. And to think that New Yorkers will somehow think that this is inappropriate is insulting to the character of this city. Another World Is Possible is a locally organized coalition. We live in this city. We've been through everything that everyone in this city has been through since September 11th. And what we're doing is affirming the character of this city much more than the editorial writers who seem to think that that repression is something that everybody, as a good New Yorker, should submit to. That's just insulting.
Yeah.
Eric, how do you spell your name?
L-A-U-R-S-E-N.
First name?
E-R-I-C.
Where are you from, Eric?
Yes, I am. Hell's Kitchen.
Next question. Yep.
What do you think are the prospects of violence against property during the demonstrations, and not by the groups that are represented up here than by some of the other groups that aren't here?
Somebody had to ask that question, so I'm glad it's been asked. My name is Starhawk, S-T-A-R-H-A-W-K. I'm with the Pagan Cluster. We're organizing the vigil and the ritual on Friday night. I'm with the Pagan Cluster.
Where is the vigil?
And let me first just give you the information on the vigil, because I think it speaks to that other issue. The vigil is at 6 o'clock at Washington Square Park. And part of the reason why we're organizing a vigil and a ritual is to address the previous question, what is appropriate to do right now when so many people are still in a state of grief and a state of trauma. I'm trained as a therapist, and I know that the kinds of traumatic events that happened on the 11th aren't over with in 3 months or 4 months. And for thousands of families here in New York, they will never be over with. So our vigil and our ritual focuses on healing, and it focuses on a chance to actually find what our vision is of the world that we want and forge some of the tools that we need in order to create that world of the future, and on celebration and on protection. And part of the reason we're doing a vigil and a ritual and we're invoking protection is because what I have seen, again, in action after action after action, is a level of police violence directed against demonstrators that far outweighs any possible breaking of windows. I've seen many of the people in these actions, young people, be beaten, come out with broken limbs, with broken arms. I was in Genoa, and I saw people there who were brutally beaten and tortured. A lot of the activists here are people who you've seen standing up and talking to you, people of passion, of courage, of vision, young people who really care about this world. And they've had a hard time, and they need some healing too. And I think that the more the media tries to push towards these questions of property damage and violence, nobody here is talking about that. The people who stand here in front of you are absolutely representative of the people in the movement. There is no secret cabal of violent thugs in this movement. They are all people like the people you see standing up before you. And there are people in this movement who are angry and have a right to be angry, because the level of injustice in this world is so great, and the forces of every police state, every economic force, every media force are so strong that fighting them is really hard and really tough. And the effort that I see people in this movement making to stay creative and to stay nonviolent and to stay peaceful and to stay true to their integrity and what they believe is absolutely enormous. And I think it deserves a level of respect I have not seen it get from the media before. So I challenge you all to step out of your roles for a moment and really listen to your hearts and listen to your intuition and look at what's in front of you and really honor the people who are willing to go out on the streets and willing to stand up for a vision of the world, which I think is the vision that serves most of the people on this planet. Thank you.
Next question.
Mike Dolan, is that you? Can you tell us about this report that's being released on Thursday?
Sure.
Over there, please.
Yeah. I'm Mike Dolan, D-O-L-A-N, first name Mike, Deputy Director, Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. On Thursday at the YWCA 61 Lexington, I, on behalf of Public Citizen, will be releasing a new report on the World Economic Forum, tentatively titled Writing an Elitist's Future. And it is description of the World Economic Forum at a couple of levels. One, revealing the extent to which this is really, in fact, a corporate trade association posing as a think tank, posing as a do-gooder institution, and kind of the thin veneer of the sort of public relations aspect of the World Economic Forum that I think is a big part of the story this week. Second aspect of this report will be the ways in which the World Economic Forum's actual participants this year reflect its European and North American business bias. We've taken a look at the participants, breaking them down by race, by gender, as well as by business affiliation. And the last section of the report, as soon as we get it out of the libel read, the last section of the report actually relates to the business interests of Klaus Schwab and some of the kind of insider dealings that have benefited not only Klaus Schwab but also a lot of the a lot of the so-called partners within the World Economic Forum. As I say, it's due out on Thursday. I've read the second to final draft and added some stuff. It's an excellent report. Print media, I do urge you to get in touch with me to get a copy of the report. And again, I'll repeat my cell phone number. It's 510-719-9304. Thank you.
I just wanted to say a quick word on that Thursday press conference at 10:30 at the YWCA. At that press conference, there will be a wide range of groups, including public citizen, environmental groups, human rights groups, development groups, calling on the need for there to be binding regulations for corporations around the world.
I just want to bring in one person to make a comment. He's here from Switzerland, has been involved in protesting the WEF in Davos, Switzerland, for the past 5 years.
Thanks. My name is David Berner. I'm with the anti-WTO coordination from Switzerland. And we've been organizing demonstrations in Davos for the past 5 years or so against the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum. These demonstrations have been becoming stronger every year. There has been more and more people, more and more groups getting involved, and they always had a clear stance that we demand the abolition of the World Economic Forum. Now in Davos, it has been turned into a police state. Every time there has been a protest there, all demonstrations have been banned. There have been several people arrested, and there has been several people not being led up to Davos, especially last 1 year ago. There was about 3,000 people that have been prevented from going up to Davos, which is this up in the mountain. So people in Switzerland are not willing to take this anymore. So that's the reason why the World Economic Forum is meeting this year in New York City. It's not because, like they say, in solidarity with this wounded city. It's because they have been chased away from Switzerland. Now, next year, they announced they're going to want to come back to Davos. The police said they're going to bring in more cops than ever. They're going to spend 10 million francs, which is about $7 million for security, and they want to keep going like that. But I'm sure this will not be taken. I'm sure if the World Economic Forum will be coming back to Davos next year, it will be the last time. And I'm very happy to see here in New York that there is a strong movement here that has the same position on the World Economic Forum, and that there will be strong demonstrations, and that the World Economic Forum its annual meeting is not welcome anywhere, neither in Davos or in New York or in Melbourne or in Cancun or in Hong Kong. Wherever they meet, there is big demonstrations.
David, yesterday Schwab and McLean said that demonstrators were invited. They said what you said, that the reason they were doing it in New York was because New York was down and out and would be a great place. They also said that demonstrators were invited into the forum. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit to this and clarify exactly what the invites have been and what the response is by the demonstrators or consumers?
But our goal is not to become a member of this elitist group. That's not what we want to do. We think that the World Economic Forum is totally undemocratic and has no legitimacy whatsoever. So, first of all, it's not true. We have not been invited to take part in the forum. We have been invited to speak to Klaus Schwab or several other people, which we are not interested. We are interested in speaking to people here in New York that are mobilizing against the World Economic Forum, and to speak to a lot of people from everywhere who are suffering from the politics that is being done by these multinational corporations that are members of the World Economic Forum. So that is our goal, and that's why I am here too.
How do you spell your last name?
B-O-E-H-N-E-R.
David? One more question for David really quick.
Okay. I'll be here for a question afterwards.
And I want Carol to be able to speak to that too. Also, I've forgotten to ask media to identify your outlet when I call on you. And Carol will just speak to that question real fast.
Sure. The Public Eye on Davos, which has watchdogged the World Economic Forum annual meeting, We've out of 3,000 representatives who are listed as participants in this year's meeting, there are about 50 who are representatives of environmental, human rights, or development NGOs. The organizers of the World Economic Forum will cite higher numbers. There are also a lot of business NGOs, like the Minerals Mining and Sustainable Development Group, or the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, which are really business interest groups. The point is that the World Economic Forum has just invited sort of a smattering of critics to give themselves the appearance of being more open. But in fact, it's predominantly corporate executives. The agenda is set by the organizers of the World Economic Forum. Their meetings are not televised. I mean, there's no way that you can argue that they've become a transparent and open institution. And if they want to be discussing issues with that regard the global economy and society, issues that have impacts for people all around the world, they can't do it in a closed, untransparent, undemocratic type of meeting.
Okay, next question. Right here.
My name is Karin Reporter with the German Business Paper Handelsblatt. And I was just wondering how much, however, September 11th and the media coverage of your movement have influenced your protests here, and because I've heard that some groups shied away because they're afraid actually of bad coverage. So, could anybody of those people out there?
As I said earlier, we're a locally led coalition, and we've been through the same thing that everyone has been through. The feeling has been that this is not the time to be overly confrontational. I think that's maybe the best word. However, Another World is Possible and other groups that plan to be in the streets will be loud and emphatic and very visible and determined to create a space for protest, which is something that's been rapidly closing up since the war on terror, so-called, began. So we're not setting out to disrupt anyone's neighborhood or do anything that would create any sort of panic. That's not what we're about. That's what the police are trying to create through the lies that they've been spreading about us in the press. We're here to be very vocal and to make sure that our right to speak is honored to the letter.
And I'd also like to start your name, the full name is Starhawk.
S-T-A-R-H-A-W-K.
That's your last name.
Yeah.
Your first name?
First, last.
Oh, okay.
David wanted to speak to that,
yeah,
too.
I want to make a statement. I'm with the Anti-Capitalist Convergence. My name is David Graeber. I wanted to emphasize, when people talk about terror and who it is who's actually trying to manipulate fear here, because we're doing everything in our power to make it clear that we pose no threat to anyone. We're trying to put on a really great show and invite everybody to join us. And at the same time, it's the police who are trying to make everybody scared, completely unnecessarily, because no one in New York has anything to fear from us. If there's a pitched battle that ensues if the police attack us. I mean, we're not going to be fighting back, but, you know, if there's tear gas all over the place, well, you know, that could affect people. If there's people running around in panic, that could affect people. But nothing we're going to do as should give people any cause for alarm. However, I think we should also emphasize, insofar as there's something disrupting the city, it's the World Economic Forum itself. They made the decision to come here, and I think they extremely cynically said, you know, this is a gesture of solidarity to New York. They know that it's exactly the opposite. They know that every place they've gone around the world, people have risen up to try to expose them, to tell the world who they are and what they're doing. They know that it's going to happen in New York. That's why they're having it in New York. It's a way of trying to manipulate the grief and the mourning that we all feel, and especially the people organizing this. We're New Yorkers too. And we feel outraged that these people are cynically manipulating the grief of our community as a way to have an expensive, posh party to discuss how better to profiteer off the world. And, you know, they feel that in this environment they can use massive repression, which is exactly what the police are now saying they're going to do. They're the people who are causing the disruption in New York City. They're the people who are trying to spread terror and fear, not us. We're doing everything possible to defuse that. David Graeber, spelled G-R-A-E-B-E-R.
What's this?
Call on people and
glasses
and
a turtleneck?
Yeah.
What's your outlet?
Ashley Sestado from Brazil. I would like to know from some of the groups present here if they have any coordinated actions with the Social Forum in Porto Alegre, and also how important that forum is.
Great. Okay. Simon, and then maybe
Sabina? Two coordinated events. My name's Simon Greer, S-I-M-O-N-G-R-E-E-R, and I work for Jobs with Justice. On Thursday afternoon, after the rally in front of the Gap store at 54th and 5th Avenue, we'll be going to do a live video conference with the opening session at the World Social Forum in Porto Alegre to share footage from the rally, as well as have workers from different industries in the United States and labor representatives convey greetings to the opening session in Porto Alegre. And then on Friday afternoon at 1:30, we're doing an hour video conference dialogue between labor, community, religious, and student activists in New York City with a range of people being organized by the World Social Forum in Porto Alegre. So we are trying to coordinate closely and convey that there's resistance to what's promoted at the WEF, both in New York and in Brazil.
And how important it is for that action to take place?
It's essential.
Sidina's going to speak to that too.
Yes, to answer that question, how important? It is important that ordinary people in the global south and ordinary people in the global north show solidarity. The theme is globalizing solidarity, globalizing justice. And there's going to be at the Church Center, 777 44th Street and 1st Avenue, UN Plaza, from the 31st to the 2nd or the 3rd of February. You will have a series of events taking place, interfaith, religious people from different faiths get together to show solidarity with human beings, because human beings are in the grace of God, and corporations are putting profit before human needs, and that's unethical.
What's your name?
Sidina Senghor, and we are on our way to we're on our way to Porto Alegre, by the way. So this event is organized by Public Eye on Davos to show complementarity between the activities going on in Davos. Porto Alegre, yeah. The tribunal, International People's Tribunal, and the World Social Forum taking place.
Mike has another Porto Alegre.
Yeah, this question relates to Porto Alegre and the resonance between those proceedings and what's happening here in New York. I want you to know that 1 week from last night, Monday night, the 4th, upstairs in this venue in the sanctuary, we will be enjoying a report back from Porto Alegre. My boss, Laurie Wallach, the director of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch, Mark Weisbrod, economist with the Center for Economic and Policy Research, Victoria Corpuz-Tali from the Philippines, as well as a couple of apologists for the neoliberal and free trade agenda, Michael Weinstein from the Council on Foreign Relations, and Sachs, what's his first name?
Jeffrey,
thank you. Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard University is going to be right upstairs defending the World Economic Forum. It's going to be a debate, a roundtable. It's going to be very, very exciting, including a report back, as I say, from Porto Alegre. So that's 1 week from last night.
Right there.
The media, you said you were not an anti-globalization group, and we in the media usually tend to put you all in the same basket. I was wondering, who are then these people, the anti-globalization groups, for you? And what are you doing to differentiate yourself from them? Because we tend to put everybody in the same category.
I'm going to speak to that, and then do you want to speak to that? Okay.
I work for a newspaper in Argentina. I was interested in what they are doing. Do you have a tango?